I think at this time I'll call on one other person who worked very, very closely with Wilbur in the executive branch, as a personal assistant to him, as assistant undersecretary, and actually in various positions. And is Dean Costin here?
Eloise, members of the family, I'm grateful to all of Wilbur's good friends, and particularly his friends in the House, for giving us an opportunity to say goodbye to a man who meant so much in all of our lives. Wilbur was a colleague of mine at the University of Michigan when I first met him. I was the Democratic County Chairman at the time, and Eloise and Wilbur were my most valuable precinct workers. I could always call Wilbur and say, "Wilbur, I've got a whole bunch of brochures I want delivered out in the precinct." And Wilbur would say, "Sure, bring them over. Eloise will get them out for you." I discovered later that was one of Wilbur's great characteristics. He was one of the best delegators the government ever had. I served Wilbur through two presidencies, I think largely because Eloise persuaded Wilbur to ask me to join him in the new frontier, and that service has changed my life forever. I served him through the most remarkable outpouring of public benefit legislation that this country has ever seen, legislation that made life in America better for all of us. I was Wilbur's deputy, and I was his executive assistant. And they say no man is a hero to his valet. And since a deputy is the next best thing to a valet, I deny that statement. Wilbur will always be my number one hero. Beyond his legislative skills, Wilbur was for me the boss, the professor, the leader, and above all, a friend. He had a remarkable ability to infuse his energy, his commitment, and his insights into his co-workers. He never slowed down, and he never expected the rest of us to slow down. I recall those days when Medicare was being hammered out in this very room, that we'd stay up all night in the secretary's office at 3:30 Independence, a building which I hope will shortly be known as the Wilbur J. Cohen Building. Has the court reporter got that down? Drafting a whole new bill for next day's meeting. And these were 300-page bills. Sidney Saperstein, who's in the audience, can remember those all-night sessions because he had the job of drafting them up after we hammered out what it was we wanted to put in the next day's bill, and they were all different. We had more permutations and combinations of Medicare than you can imagine. One a day for months. I remember those long sessions we had with Orrin Harris and Kenny Roberts as we worked out issues in food and drug protection. We had long conversations with Esther Peterson, who is here, in how we could improve a lot of the American consumer in food and drugs. And I remember those early morning sessions with the president when we were trying to get our education legislation out of jeopardy. And at high noon on January 20th, 1969, there we were in the secretary's office, still processing out final regulations and directives to preserve in HEW as much as we could the accomplishments of that decade. Wilbur forged his alliances with great care and with great patience. If he lost a skirmish on one issue, he was willing to come at it from another direction on another day. He never missed the opportunity to teach, to explain, to cajole, and if necessary, to muscle his friends and his opponents. He was equally firm with lobbyists and with presidents, with chairmen and with staff. His pockets were always filled with little scraps of paper on which were proposals, amendments, suggestions, comments on every issue imaginable. He always had one ready for the occasion. "I've been thinking about that, Mr. Chairman," he would say, "and I've jotted down a couple of ideas that you might want to consider." out would come the specifications for a bill that we drafted some weeks earlier in anticipation of that very opportunity. Weber was a partisan Democrat. He enjoyed political combat. But he could always appreciate the other fellow's view, and he could always try to accommodate it. As long as he could make progress in the right direction, he didn't much care who won the words. Inexhaustible energy and an infinity of ideas were his resources. He pushed his staff, but no harder than he pushed himself. He never lost his temper, in public at least, nor his sense of humor. I remember the day the Ways and Means Committee finally finished up the Medicare-Medicaid proposal, having added Mr. Burns' Medicaid amendments to the administration's Medicare bill. And Chairman Mills turned to him, and Bob, I'm sure you remember this remarkable meeting, when Chairman Mills turned to him and said, "This is a wonderful bill, Wilbur. How much do you think it'll cost?" Wilbur said, "I don't know, Mr. Chairman, but it's a hell of a lot of money." And how right he was, and what a great bill it was. My 10 years under Wilbur's guidance were the most productive and rewarding of my life. He taught me the craft of legislation, the management of vast programs, the politics of progress. But above all, he taught us about human needs and human aspirations, and the importance of a just and caring government. In Wilbur's world, every person has great value. It's government's job to recognize that value, to support it, and to make it possible for everyone to reach his full potential. It was Wilbur Cohen's guiding principle that the great power of this country lies in its people. If we choose to waste our people, we choose to waste our power. Wilbur Cohen was truly my friend, and I will miss him. But he was much more than that. He was your friend. And he was the friend of all America, the children, the aged, the sick, the poor, and all of us who have dwelt in this great nation. And we will not see his like again in our time. Thank you.